Music, a remembered song, takes us back quicker, more vividly than anything else we recall. And all of us have our own tunes and our memories to attach to them. You know, CCO has been in the business of fabricating memories for a long while. Somebody sat down and figured up that we've aired almost 3 million recordings since 1924. No breakdown as to how many were sad songs and how many were glad, but I'll wager we could come up with a pretty good estimate studying the events of each year. As a chronicle of the times, all pop music mirrors the moods and concerns of the generations that made them popular. Perhaps you can hear these expressions of current history as we reach back for a few keepsake items from a tuneful half century. One evening in December 1919, Vaughn DeLeith sang into the annunciator of Lee DeForest's experimental station 2XG in Times Square. She was the first to sing on radio, and the last for several years. A federal radio inspector ordered the station off the air because, he said, there is no room in the ether for entertainment. He was wrong.
And a baby, your mother, like she babied you. Back in your baby days. Maybe your mother is lonesome and blue, waiting for you and needing you too. The debt of love you owe her you can never pay. Go take her in your arms and kiss her tears away. And baby, your mother, like she babied you, back in your baby days.
The First Lady of Radio, Vaughn DeLeith. The 20s was an era of high voices on radio. One of the most admired singers of our first decade was Gene Austin, who retained his immense popularity even after the baritones of Bing Crosby and Russ Colombo had wooed and won large radio followings. This little Gene Austin gem was a favorite of CCO listeners in 1927.
There she is, there she is, that's what keeps me up at night. Oh gee whiz, that's why I can't eat a bite. Those flaming eyes, that flaming youth. Oh, mister, oh, sister, tell me the truth. Ain't she sweet? See her coming down the street. I ask you confidentially, ain't she sweet? Ain't she nice? Look her over once or twice. I ask you confidentially, ain't she nice? Just cast an eye in her direction. Oh, me, oh, my. Ain't that perfection? I repeat, don't you think that's kind of neat? I ask you confidentially, ain't she sweet?
When you peekaboo again through my sweetie's window pane, leave a kiss up on me. Dance across the pillowcase till you see the sweetest face. Moonbeam, kiss up for me. You may see a pearly smile a-gleaming if it's of a loveness that she's dreaming. Tell her that her sweet is true, then before you say adieu, moonbeam, kiss her for me.
That was the Silver Masked Tenor, whose real identity will never be disclosed by this announcer. The group is the B.F. Goodrich Silvertown Chord Orchestra, a leading radio orchestra in the 1920s. Conductor Joseph Knecht was one of the first to arrange music specifically for the new medium, though it smacked of theater and concert dance music. By 1929, after Paul Whiteman made his sponsored radio debut on the Old Gold Hour, radio music acquired a higher polish and more sophistication. 1928 was the last of the good years, at least for a while. Al Smith taught the country that radio can rhyme with daddy-o. And neighbors invited you across the street to listen to CCO on their new electric radios. No more batteries. And among the inexplicable sounds you were likely to hear coming from the speaker was a new national catchphrase. Boop, boop, be doop.
I wanna be loved by you, just you. Nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you, alone. Boop, boop, da doop. I wanna be kissed by you, just you. Nobody else but you. I wanna be kissed by you, alone. Papa, my goodness, boy, to anything higher than feel the desire to make you my own. Papa, boom, buddy, love, boom, buddy. I wanna be loved by you, just you. Nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you alone.
Helen Kane, a 1928 counterpart of Helen Reddy, a popular stylist on CCO this year. The era of popular music really began about the same time WCCO arrived on the scene. Broadway and the silver screen, which was learning to talk and sing, had been blessed with an exceptional list of gifted composers, for one thing, and advances in recording technology had given the phonograph a new lease on life. But most of all, it was the development of radio which made popular music popular. Prior to 1924, it took months, even years, for a tune to journey across the country by way of concert halls, ballrooms, and clubs. But radio could teach the whole nation a new song in a single night, or introduce them to a new talent like Cliff Edwards, Ukulele Ike, a radio star during the 20s and 30s. This is a 1934 recording of his appearance on the Columbia Variety Hour over CCO.
Say it's only a paper moon sailing over a cardboard sea, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Yes, it's only a canvas sky hanging over a muslin tree, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
Another newcomer to CCO in the mid-20s was Eddie Cantor. By 1931, he was the most popular radio performer in America.
I love to spend each Sunday with you. Ask friend of friend, I'm sorry it's through. I'm telling you just how I feel. I hope you feel that way too.
Rock-a-bye, your baby, with a Dixie melody. When you croon a tune from that heart of Dixie, just hang that cradle, Mammy Mai, right on that Mason-Dixon line, and swing it from Virginia to Tennessee with all of the soul that's in ya. Weep no more, my lady. Mammy, sing it again for me. An old black show, just as though you had me on your knee. A million baby kisses I'll deliver if you will only sing that Swanee River. Rock-a-bye, your rock-a-bye baby, with a Dixie melody.
A vaudevillian turned radio star, Al Jolson. CCO listeners took a cotton to him in 1928 and he kept them singing right on through the 30s. There is only one Bing Crosby. Count him on the fingers of one finger.
No gal mate has got a shade on sweet Georgia Brown. Two left feet, but oh so neat, has sweet Georgia Brown. They all sigh and want to die, sweet Miss Georgia Brown, and I'll tell you just why. You know that I do not lie, not much. It's been said that she knocks them dead when she lands in town. Since she came, it's a shame how she cools them down. Fellas she can't get, must be fellas that she ain't met. Georgia claimed her, Georgia named her, sweet Georgia Brown.
Harry Lillis Crosby, as he sounded on CCO in 1929. Bing, it said, has been heard by more people than anyone else who ever lived. Certainly his long career on network radio supports the claim, over 20 years. Bing is 70 now and not doing too well. We send him our best for all the listeners he sent our way.
It's been said that she knocks them dead when she lands in town. Since she came, why, it's a shame how she cools them down. Fellas she can't get, must be fellas that she ain't met. Georgia claimed her, Georgia named her, sweet Georgia. They call her sweet Miss Georgia Brown.
The Depression may have wiped out people's lifetime savings, but gloom and misery did not permeate all of the popular songs of the period. Sure, there was Brother, Can You Spare a Dime, and Stormy Weather, but there were optimistic tunes, too. Astaire and Rogers danced to Cheek to Cheek. Rudy Valley crooned Life is Just a Bowl of Cherries. And Dick Powell, at the bottom of the Depression in 1933, made us temporarily forget our penniless condition with this spirit lifter.
We're in the money. We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money. The skies are sunny. Old man Depression, you are through. You done us wrong. We never see a headline but a bread line today. And when we see the landlord, we could look that guy right in the eye. We're in the money. Come on, my honey, let's spend it, lend it, send it, rolling along.
When the moon comes over the mountain, every beam brings a dream here of you. Once again, mountain through that rose-covered valley we knew. Each day is gray and dreary, but the night is bright and cheery. Mountain, I'm alone with my memories of you.
America's radio sweetheart, the announcer said, and so she was. Kate Smith, the voice of radio from 32 to the mid-40s. By the early 30s, music was a dominant factor in radio, and a handful of singers, we'd call them superstars now, became the idols of millions. This is The Vagabond Lover, Rudy Valley, in 1934, making feminine hearts flutter on CCO.
Linger a little longer in the twilight with me. We'll dream our cares away. Somehow in the twilight you are nearer to me, dearer than words can say. With your hand in mine,
A show of hands from those over 60 responding to their favorite tenor of the 1930s would go every time to Morton Downey. His clear, ringing voice was heard on CCO well into the 50s. Remember his Coke Time show? Our announcers of that day knew well they could bring a tear to a smiling Irish eye with Morton's Rose of Tralee.
Oh, no, 'twas the truth in her eye ever dawning that made me love Mary, the Rose of Tralee.
As times change, as language changes, as skirts go up and down and the old returns in new forms, so do the meanings in contemporary music shift. In 1938, with the Depression behind us and the dismay of World War II not yet on the horizon, the temper of the times was evident in the tempos of the tunes. The year produced a spate of novelties, including this little charmer by Louis Armstrong.
I don't care what the weatherman says. When the weatherman says it's raining, you never hear me complaining. I'm certain the sun will shine. I don't care how the weather vane points. When the weather vane points to gloomy, it's got to be sunny to me. When your eyes look into mine. Oh, jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those eyes? Oh gosh, all get up, I'd they get so lit up. Gosh, all get up, I'd they get that size. Oh golly gee, when you turn the heaters on, woe is me, got to put my cheetahs on. Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Oh, those weepers have hypnotized. Yeah. Where'd you get those eyes, gate? Where'd you get those eyes, sash? Where'd you get those eyes? Papa, da dee da doo 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 doo.
The past 50 years have marked an enormous enlargement in public appreciation of the classics, and radio, unquestionably, must be credited with much of this stimulation. Before 1922, concert music was heard only in metropolitan music halls by a fortunate few. But powerful new stations like WCCO brought the works of the masters to small towns, rural communities, in fact, every home. Our own renowned Minnesota Orchestra, it was the Minneapolis Symphony then, had its first experience with radio in 1923 on WLAG with the brilliant Bruno Walter on the podium. And on the night of January 24, 1927, the orchestra's second conductor, Belgian Henri Verbruggen, conducted the first concert on WCCO in an hour and a half program. The orchestra began regular Sunday night broadcasts the next year, sponsored by Northwestern National Bank. And by the way, when a number of listeners wrote in to complain about interference from another local station, WCCO management bought an hour of silence on the other station to be sure outstate residents could hear the orchestra.
Thank you.
Bruggen and the Minneapolis Symphony with the finale to Wagner's Rienzi Overture, the 1920s. 10 years later, we were able to replace the recording horn with a microphone for more clarity and range in concerts conducted by Eugene Ormandy. Even later, in the late 60s, CCO was the first to broadcast the Minnesota Orchestra in live stereophonic sound. Incidentally, the Sunday broadcast series was responsible for WCCO's break with the NBC network. NBC had sold Standard Oil's sponsorship of the Chicago Symphony, and CCO was asked to clear the Sunday nighttime for the programs. In those days, the practice of recording and playing back a program had not been developed. So a decision had to be made about which symphony we would air. CCO management dug in its heels and refused to clear time for the network, and NBC promptly ended the affiliation. Our subsequent association with CBS led to one of the longest program series in radio history, over 20 years, the Sunday afternoon broadcasts of the New York Philharmonic, which we programmed into the 60s. Eugene Ormandy, the Minneapolis Symphony's third conductor who joined the orchestra in 1931 in a bit of Rachmaninoff. In 1937, CCO broadcast the first appearance of Greek-born Dimitri Mitropoulos, who succeeded Ormandy. The years have passed, and today the Minnesota Orchestra, under the musical direction of Stanislav Skrobachevsky, is considered one of the world's great orchestra. We're pleased to have been able to bring the glorious sounds of our orchestra to listeners from the beginning. And that tradition continues this October 21st, when CCO broadcasts the inaugural concert at New Orchestra Hall, as well as several other scheduled concerts throughout the season. Live music before large studio audiences was an essential component of radio in the 1930s. And out of the live shows came a number of marvelous talents we recall fondly tonight. Tony Grisey, Lee Harris, Sally Foster, Willie Peterson, Toby Prynne, Eddie Fortier, Irv Wickner, Larry Brackey, Frank Roberts, the Plea Hall Brothers, Tom and Eddie, Slim Jim, Clarence Shorty Booth, Ernie Garvin, Hal Garvin, Dick Link, Pop Link, and Kenny Spears. And one of the finest house orchestras in radio anywhere, led for over 20 years by Wally Olson. The first musical groups to play regularly on the station were the Oscar Danielson Band and Dick Long's Nankin Cafe Orchestra. One of the most versatile personalities of our early years had to be Jerry Harrington. He was an actor, announcer, sportscaster, and singer on CCO, and I understand was also known to bark on cue in a certain CCO dramatic program. Fortunately, the station does not require today's sportscasters to be that well-rounded, although Al Shaver certainly comes close, in girth, at least. Jerry was one of the early Tims in the Tina and Tim series, and you may remember him as the little Irish tenor.
My Irish eyes are smiling, sure tis like a morning spring. In the lilt of Irish laughter, you can hear the angels sing. When Irish hearts are happy, all the world seems bright and gay.
In 1925, a young organist who had been accompanying silent films at the Minnesota and State Theaters in Minneapolis came to CCO hoping to get into the exciting new broadcast medium. He appeared on the gala inaugural program from our new Nicollet Hotel studios that year on March 4th, and we have a rare recording of a portion of that performance.
And now, Eddie Dunstetter seats himself at the console of the mighty organ to play Nola as only he can play it.
Eddie left CCO in 1934 for Hollywood, where he wrote, arranged, and conducted for Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. But he often returned to Minnesota and gave his last concert in Minneapolis in October of 1970. Eddie died only in July of this year. Ramona Gerhard was another popular CCO organist with an ear for a pretty tune. Listen again to her familiar theme music. And to put words to music, there was Jeannie Arlen.
My heart's at ease as I ride through the pinewood trees when there's moonlight on the sunset trail. Cares fade away, it's the end of a perfect day. Moonlight on the sunset.
Bert Hansen.
Every time I hear a newborn baby cry or touch a leaf or see the sky, then I know why I
Joan Eiden.
Give me a little kiss, will you, huh? What are you gonna miss, will you, huh? Gosh, oh, gee, why do you refuse? I can't see now what you got to lose, oh.
CCO musicians were real troopers, many rising before the milkman to entertain on shows like The Sunrisers and Songs with Joan and Bert. Somehow asking Joan to sing romantic ballads at 6 a.m. seems beyond the call of duty.
I were asking for the world, but what's a little kiss between a fella and his girl? Give me a little kiss, will you, huh? And I'll give it right there to you. Oh, give me a little squeeze.
We're surveying our life and musical times since 1924 when CCO began. A few collector's items, hits of the recent past, and earlier tunes for this 50th anniversary evening, and more to come.